Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We will have told this year, we will have shared over 600 stories of people's next step this year. Team huddles, every service, meetings. That's why we're here, church. We are here to see people take a step in knowing Christ, finding community, and discovering the purpose of God for their life. Isn't that the best thing ever? So we are passionate about it. We're not slowing down. We're in a campaign called Idols and Ideologies. And ultimately, this is about worship. It is. It is about what you worship, what you give your attention to most, and what really occupies, here it is, your imagination. Do you know what is constantly in the screen TV of your imagination is a sign and a symptom of what we have as first place in our lives? And if you live in Sydney, could be property, amen? Could be wage, could be interest rates, could be whatever it is, could be Arsenal Football Club, pray for me. It could be whatever it is. Whatever dominates the imagination is a sign of what is most important to us. And here, Tim Keller, he says this about idols. He says, an idol is anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give. So we're going to talk. I mean, who's been having fun? You've been having fun during this campaign? We're just talking about all the real stuff, aren't we? Okay. So we talked about the idol of self. We've talked about the idol of lust. That was a risky one. And now today we're talking about the idol of greed. Oh, the idol of greed. And we need to talk about this. We do, because this is what greed is. Greed is not only concerned with accumulation of material things for selfish gain, it is more helpfully defined as the desire for more than is good. Therefore, the idol of greed is when we ignore what is ultimately good and are unable to order our desires. There are a lot of desires in life, and desire is not wrong. If you've grown up in a religious environment that can oppress the idea that having desires, that you shouldn't have desires, come to my family online, that you shouldn't have sexual desire, that's wrong. God made it. How you doing, church? You alive? God made it. It's okay. Calm down. Desiring things is good. You should. But the key is the order that desires are in. How we order, how we prioritize, what is first is what matters and puts our desires in the right position. The sinfulness of greed lies in the judgment of someone who considers the acquisition of temporal goods to be preferable to eternal goods. It's very quiet today because this is the real stuff. It's the real stuff. The acquisition of temporal things above the acquisition of eternal things. This is greed. Greed is a thing in our Western society, in our Western culture, that wants to take a hold of us. Greed is the insatiable desire to have more money or possessions for self-gratification while ignoring God and eternity. And so we're going to read from the book of Timothy. Here we've got the Apostle Paul, and he is writing to Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor. He's learning what to do. I feel that I can relate to Timothy. And Paul is writing to him. And the Apostle Paul is instructing him on how to lead the church well. And he says this to Timothy. He says, teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up. Paul doesn't hold any punches. He's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicion. Sounds a lot like Instagram, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of truth. That is our world today. Imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment. Everyone say contentment. Come on, say contentment. Say contentment. Contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Who loves pangs? Yeah, pangs are awesome. Here's a reality. We can either be consumed with getting more, or we can be confined by poor stewardship. We can either be completely overwhelmed by the need for more, or we can find ourselves confined and restricted because we haven't learned to steward money well. And here's the deal. If you are pursuing money, guess what happens? You end up a slave to money. How you doing today? You doing all right? You end up a slave to money. If we don't embrace good stewardship of money, we end up, guess what? A slave to money. So at either end, if we do not have a clear, clean approach where money is in its right place, we will end up a slave to it. And when you are a slave to money, you are missing your identity because you are not a slave any longer in Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. And Jesus hates things that rob you of your identity. And money is a thief. Money will keep you stuck. The fear of money, the anxiety around money, the need for more money, it will get us stuck. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, encourage people. Look what Matthew 6:19-21, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A mind that is consumed with more, a life that is confined by a lack of stewardship, ends up focused on the temporal. We end up consumed with the temporal and we miss the eternal. And this is a scheme of the devil. Church, this is a scheme of the enemy. And I know he hates this campaign because we are stepping on every little bit of territory he thinks he has in your life. We're going to step on every area the culture and the system of this world has come to infiltrate the people of God. The idol of greed, the idol of money, wants us to be focused on temporal things. But God wants to set you free with an eternal perspective. Anyone been to the city? You remember that place, CBD? You've been there? I mean, since COVID, who goes to the city anyway? I mean, what a boring place, right? And so I'm joking. If you've been to the city, you know there's a place called George Street. Have you heard of it? You heard of it? You heard of it online? Put it in the chat. George Street. And in George Street, if you were on George Street, walking George Street, your perspective would be limited by the many buildings, by the many streets, by the many cars, by the many people that are crazy. As you're walking the street of George Street, you will have a limited perspective based on where you're at. But good news. If you go up to Sydney Centre Point Tower or whatever the heck it is called these days, if you go up there, you can see all of Sydney. suddenly you can see where the buildings are. You can see where to take a left turn. You can see because you have perspective. And this is what God wants for us. He wants us to have perspective. He wants us to have an eternal view of the decisions we are making. Because sometimes when money is the goal, we are making temporal decisions and we are compromising our integrity. We're compromising what really matters. We compromise family. We compromise Jesus. We compromise the things that we value, like Ewan was saying. But when God is God, when eternity is what matters most, suddenly our perspective, we can see what really matters. And our decisions change according to eternity, not to just here and now. How you're doing, church? Matthew 6:24, Jesus said like this, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Listen to this. Jesus is talking. He says, you cannot serve God and money. He doesn't say like, hey, you could try. Some people are trying. He says you can't. It is not possible. It's impossible. If you serve money, if money is the goal in life, if that is the thing, guess what it means? It means we're not serving God. It means that God is not number one. If money is God, then God is not God. But if God is God in your life, guess what? Money is not your God. And therefore, money does not control you. Money does not own you. Money does not determine what you do that matters in this life. Money is no longer leading you, guiding you, trying to take you by still waters that don't exist, trying to take you by a green pasture that doesn't exist, because money will promise things that it can never deliver on. Because the only thing that really satisfies the soul is when the Lord is your shepherd. And that's why David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And so we need to be free from this idol that robs us of contentment, robs us of joy. And we need an eternal view of what matters in this life. I heard this American preacher one time. You like American preachers? I love American preachers. I heard this American preacher and he said it like this. He said, "You know what, church? We don't believe in ROI. We believe in ROI. What? What are you talking about, bro? ROI. He said, "We believe in eternal return on investment." And I quite like that. I think that's quite good. I think we should make that a thing around here. Eternal return on investment. Because really what matters in this life is not what happens in this life. What really matters in this life is what is unto the next life. What really matters most with what you do with the few years you have on this planet is what will, like Gladiator says, echo into eternity. That's what really matters. And so Paul is instructing Timothy, and three things I want you to catch here. He says to him to address the people that desire to be rich. And what this means is it is the pursuit. It is when the desire to be rich, the desire to be wealthy is more important to us than the desire to know God. When that is winning, it will lead us into all sorts of temptation. Paul says, it'll lead us into all sorts of issues where we end up harming our own selves, harming our families, harming what really matters most in life. The desire to be rich will limit us from living a life that at the end of it all, guess what really matters at the end? I went to my grandma's funeral. And she passed away quite a while ago. Helen Anderson, what an unbelievable lady. And she passed, and in that funeral, do you know that not one person talked about her house? Not one person mentioned about her things, her stuff, her possessions. Not one. Not one. Dan can prove it. He was there. We're cousins. Not one person talked about that. Do you know what everybody talked about? How Nan had impacted their life and how her words and her time and her energy, God bless that phone in Jesus' name, how that time and that energy and that situation, her whole life, she spent counseling people. There were people that were drug addicted and they came and spent time with her and they were now council workers, pastors, all sorts of things. This is what people were talking about. This is what really matters. This, how are you going over here in the corner? This is what actually matters. When your life is over, they're not going to tell stories about your things. They're going to tell story about how you made them feel, about what you did in their life. Church, we need to be eternal focused. That when it's all said and done, what I really did matters because it impacted people in Jesus' name. Come on, if we're going to clap, I want you to clap like we're the Wanderer's game, in Jesus' name. Paul goes on to say the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. What he doesn't say is that money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is great, everybody. Just calm down. To have money is great. Not a problem. Wonderful even. Awesome. So money is not the issue. Things are not the issue. It is the love of money that is the issue. Paul is addressing the love. And it will look in both ways. Love will also create fear. We will live in fear of not having enough. Fear of not enough money. But what we are doing when we give, when we are generous, because the way to break the idol of greed off your life is to embrace a lifestyle of generosity. And what we are doing when we are generous, the reason we have a giving booklet is not because we want your money. How you doing? It's not because we're like, hey, we come and give us your money. That is not what this is about. It is about, this is a picture of somebody who is devoted to following Jesus. Here's why. Because when we give, we are breaking the curse and the Lord of Mammon. It is a pervasive, pushy God in our world, the Lord of Mammon. And he wants to rule us and he wants to control us. But when we give money away, when we build good stewardship and generosity into our lifestyle, what we are doing, church, is we are breaking the curse and the stronghold of the God of Mammon off our life. That's why we are committed to saying, okay, Lord Jesus, not only do you have my hands, not only do you have my mouth, but you really have my heart. How do you know that God really has your heart? How do you know? You know by where your treasure is. The real sign that God is the center of my heart. One of the greatest pictures that you have fully surrendered to Jesus is actually that in my finances, I have consecrated them to God. And what we do is we say, hey, let's not just tip God. Let's tithe. We're talking about some controversial things today, aren't we? We're not trying to tip God. You know, like a tip is? Like, oh, that was a good week. Yeah, good on you, God. Thanks for a good one, Jesus. Just put a little tip in there. What's your tip rate? This is not what this is. This is not about tipping. This is not about, well, you know, I got a bit of spare cash today. No. This is about working a rhythm and a prioritization into your everyday so that in your everyday, your finances are submitted to God. As much as our heart is, our mouth is, that my finances are submitted to God, that I've made, truly made God number one in my life. And when we do that, church, we break that curse off our life. We break all sorts of curses off our life when we make Jesus number one in our giving. Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So we need to understand about what's happening in this book of the Bible. Paul is saying to Timothy, you need to be careful because people are using godliness for gain. They are using ministry to get ahead financially. And so what they were doing is they were actually adopting a way of the world and bringing it into the system of the church. And this is what happens. It still happens in our day to day, that the westernized thinking has come like yeast to get into the leaven and has leavened the whole bread. It gets into all sorts of areas of our lives. But godliness is not for gain. Godliness is for godliness. And Paul says godliness with contentment. With contentment. That is real gain. Pursuing God and thanking God is the key to a life, a really wealthy life, where you are godly and content. What is contentment? It is a place where we come to where we are settled. Matthew 16:26, it says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? You can gain everything. You can have everything, but have lost your life. You can be wealthy, yet impoverished in your soul. You can accumulate everything you can and still have nothing to show for it. Because what is really at stake is not the state of your bank account, but the state of your soul. At the root of never being content is this, not enough. Not enough. You ever felt that? Talk to me, church. You ever felt that? Not enough? You ever felt like you're not enough? You ever felt like God's not enough? You ever felt like what you have is not enough? Have you felt that? Not enough? Reality about not enough is that it is a trap to get us to stay in a cycle that keeps us enslaved. I'm not enough. I haven't done enough. God's not enough. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. If only I had that, then I'd be okay. I don't have enough. In my own life, I would tend to be the person who's going to work, and still feel like it's not enough. I mean, I was saying to Justin just the other day, I said, after a big week, we'd done a lot. We'd been doing lots of things and giving our best and going for it. And I said to Justin, I feel like I didn't do enough this week. I just didn't do enough. I didn't do enough. And Justin, she did. She took me by the ear and slapped me. It's the kind of woman she is. Shut up. And she told, of course you've done enough. But you know what really is at the root of that? And I put it in this really nice, humble way, like, oh, you know, I just want to give my best. And I just don't think I've done enough. And maybe I could do more. And I put it in this nice, humble way. But you know what really is at the root of it? You know what really is at the root of that? Pride. Because at the depth of a lack of trust is actually a lack of humility. What I'm really saying is, I haven't done enough because it's all on me. And I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And I'm living my life without dependence and trust on God. But there is a time where you must stop and you must rest and you must trust. And so we live with this lack of contentment because we're not enough and God's not enough. But I want you to know, if you come to know Jesus, you really come into a relationship with him, you will see that he is more than enough. Jesus on his own is more than enough. And that in Christ, you are more than enough. You are an heir of God. Everything that Jesus has, you are a co-heir with him. We are children of God. If you are a child of God, you have everything in this life. You have more than enough. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to embrace a lifestyle, as I close, of generosity. Generosity. And here's the key to generosity. Generosity must be founded on good stewardship. Generosity can be, without self-control, poor stewardship. How's everyone doing? When we engage in generosity, it is on the foundation of good stewardship. God wants us to be good stewards of what he has given us. Not wasteful. Not wasteful. Wise. But our wisdom around finances is not toward our own gain. It is actually towards what really matters most. That we can be generous. Here's something I read over my life every day. I read this. I have 13 confession things that I read every morning. And I read these every day. And one of them is this. Money is a tool, not a goal. Money is a tool, not a goal. The goal of our lives, church, is not money, but money is a great tool. And we can use money for wonderful things, to bless people, to change lives, to build his kingdom, to bless our families, to bless our children's children. Money is not a goal, it is a tool. And when we steward it well, it becomes a great resource that empowers us to be generous. And maybe you're here today and you are feeling the pinch of life financially. And what I want to encourage you is that don't look to what you don't have. You hearing me today, church? Don't look to what you don't have. Look at what you have and bring it to God. Like the little boy with the 5 loaves and just a couple of fishes. And all they did, they just brought what they had and Jesus took it and made more of it. Can you close your eyes? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you know in your soul the idol of greed, the god of mammon, money, has taken a hold on your life. It's got a pole position in your life. And here's what I want us to do. We're going to do 3 quick things. Number one, we're going to recognize it. So between you and God, ask God, Lord, where has money got a hold of me? Do that with me, church. Do that with me. Where has money got a hold of me? Thank you, Lord. Show us. Because you can't get free of what you don't recognize. Lord, where has money got a hold of us? Number two, we're going to repent. And repentance is a beautiful thing. Because repentance is not about diagnosing, fixing, explaining. Repentance is about turning away from our old nature, our dead nature, our flesh. And so the best thing we can do is not try and fix that. It's actually let it die. Repentance is putting the old you back in the grave where it belongs. You are a new creation with new desires, with a new heart and a new mind. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we repent where money has been our God, either by consumption or confinement, where it has ruled us, where it has dominated our imagination. We say to you, money, we say to you, mammon, spirit of this world, God of this world, you are not our God. Jesus is our King. God is our provider. We rely on him and him alone. And so you've set people free today in Jesus' name as we repent. Come on, turn. Say, Lord, I repent. God, we repent. We repent. We repent. And now I want you to reorder your life. What does that mean? Here's, do one simple thing. What is one act of generosity this week that you can engage your life in? Maybe it is to take the step of tithing, of bringing 10%, giving to God, being generous directly to God. Maybe it is like Mary would go and make someone a meal. What can you do this week to break the God of Mammon off your life by engaging in generosity? Lord, show us, show us, show us. Show us today in Jesus' name. And right now, as I close, if you need to put your faith in Jesus, you've never turned to Christ, but you need to do that today. I want to give you just a moment right now to invite him into your life. Everybody, if you know Jesus, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Hey, if you don't know God, we're praying for you. And right now, we want to lead you in a prayer to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. You can never be good enough to earn the gift of salvation. You only receive it by faith in the one who was good enough and who did the work for us on the cross. If you have been trying to live life your own way, but you know it's time to quit on your own way and to turn to Jesus and rely on him who is the way. If you need to put your faith in Jesus today, count of three, I want you to raise your hand and say yes to God. If that is you, if that is you, nobody looking around, nobody looking around, church. If that is you, count of three. One, two, three. Who is there today saying, that's me? That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. A couple of seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Let's all say this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I turn from sin. I turn to you. I receive forgiveness. I receive eternal life. Thank you that I am a child of God, that I belong to Jesus, and that I am saved. In Jesus' name. Church, can you stand up with me? We're done. Can you reach out to God one more time? We love you so much, church. We want you to be blessed. We want you to be free. 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 So we thank you by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you set us free. You make us whole. You bring healing from regret. You bring deliverance from anything that has us stuck. We thank you by your Spirit. You break any evil that has a hold on us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have all our worship. You have all our attention. We give you our full attention to eternity and what matters most. In Jesus' name, they all said, come on, can you give God some praise today?
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.